You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's episode, I have Justin Williams. Justin, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Justin and I are in a mastermind together. I know I've done a lot of these episodes with guys for my mastermind, but there's so many talented guys that it just makes sense to have them on the show. And I was actually had the privilege of being on Justin's show a couple weeks back. Justin's got a podcast. The name of his podcast is House Flipping HQ. And how long have you been doing the podcast, Justin?
Oh, how long has it been? About a year and a half now.
So only a year and a half, and he's moved right up the ranks as one of the top real estate investing podcasts on iTunes, I would say. But before you got into podcasting, Justin, let's talk a little bit about how you got started in real estate.
Sure. My wife and I went to our first real estate investing seminar in May of 2007. At the time, we didn't even realize there were people out there that actually teach you this business. I was blown away to find someone that for only, you know, a couple thousand dollars. Actually, Atlanta, Georgia was where we went.
Really? Interesting.
Yep. Flight all the way from California to Atlanta, Georgia.
Really?
I didn't know that there were people in my own backyard that I could learn from. So paid this guy a couple thousand dollars, paid for hotels, paid for the whole thing, and then paid him $15,000 for his coaching program.
Wow.
And later on, we found out that he hadn't done the business in about 6 years. But you know what? We still learned a ton.
Sure.
We learned a ton. We entered what I call the corridor, got going. Took us 7 months till we did our first deal, but we were, you know, pushing along, and we actually, you know, won a car that he never delivered as well.
So, oh my gosh.
That's a whole other story, but I know this is a quick episode, so I won't get into that. But but the bottom line is, like, whatever. It got us going. We surround ourselves with good people, you know, and just got started. So.
And so you're based in Southern California. Is that where you were when you got started?
At that time, we were in Bakersfield.
Okay.
Because my other business, my satellite dish business, kind of took us there. So we were there for a couple years. So.
Gotcha. Flew to Atlanta, went into a seminar, paid for some coaching. 7 months later, you do your first deal. And was that like a flip? Was it a wholesale? What sort of got you started?
Yeah, at the time I was doing short sales and wholesale deals. So I did wholesales for the first like 3.5 years, and then transitioned in 2010, started transitioning into fix and flips.
Gotcha. And is that now, so back then, were you doing these wholesale deals in your backyard in Bakersfield?
Yeah, all of these were in Bakersfield.
Okay, I gotcha. So you sort of, what's your palate there on the wholesale deals locally? And yep. then at some point, I mean, I know this about you, you transitioned and sort of blew it wide open to where you do deals all over the country. How did that come about?
Yeah. So in 2010 was a big transition year for us, and not really a very good income wise, because we were just transitioning out of wholesales, out of short sales into fix and flip. And it was like learning a whole new business for me. At that time, I didn't even know how to use the MLS. I didn't really know how to properly analyze the deal. All I was doing was trying to tie up a property for as low as I could and sell it for as high as I could. Looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea what I was doing, but I went for it, right? So
right.
That kind of got us going. But then in 2010, I decided, hey, I want to, let's get into rentals. Let's do this whole financial freedom thing, get out of the rat race. And that went great for a few months, about 3 months. I bought 12 houses. And we realized after buying number 12, we couldn't buy anymore. We were out of money. Our investors were out of money. And so I was like, crap, you know, what are we going to do? And we decided to sell 4 of those houses that were not yet rented out. And from selling those 4 houses, I mean, at this point, you know, 2010 was not a big financial year for us. We had a bunch of debt from our old business and fraud. There's a whole huge backstory here that we don't have time to get into, but, we were to the point where like, we can't pay our rent next month. Right.
Wow.
So we had to sell these 4 houses. And from those 4 houses, we made enough money to take care of all of our expenses for an entire year. And that was the first time I felt financially free for like an entire year. And I thought this was pretty cool. I said, what if we could do this every month? What if every month we can make enough money that we need for an entire year? Now, those are good numbers, right?
Sure.
So we just went full board. I had read books like The E-Myth and The 4-Hour Workweek, and I knew that I could create a business, not just a job. And that's what I set out to do. I just focused on creating the machine, not working in the machine, but how could I build this machine so it'll work for me? And that year in 2011, we ended up doing 60 deals. And these were fix and flip deals.
Wow.
So 60 deals as to where previously we had only done a total of the previous like 4 years combined. We'd done about 40 deals total. And those were wholesale deals, right? Which technically are easier. So we did 60 that year. And then we just kept ramping up from there, averaging about 100 houses per year. And then I was just mentioning to you before in the past, about 70 days, I don't know when our last mastermind group was, but since that meeting, we've been averaging about a deal per day. And it's just, it's insane. Crazy.
That's insane growth trajectory to go from nothing to 60 in 1 year or a couple, you know, handful a year to 60 fix and flips too, which are way more time intensive. And to now where you're doing a deal a day, that's, you'll end up doing 300 some deals this year then? I mean,
yeah, well, we started off, what's interesting is in December and January was really slow and I was actually really stressed out. And we picked up a little bit before the mastermind meeting. And then I don't know what happened. We just, things just turned on. And I think that's important to mention because anytime I've had, you know, a dip, quote unquote, in my business or a challenge or a struggle, when we dig deep and we find new ways to make things happen, it's always ended up being much better than what we had before.
Hmm.
And so I just think there's a lot of reward in that struggle for those who are willing to push through that. And you will cause you to do things that you wouldn't have been willing to do before, didn't think you needed to do. And then you make those adjustments, so you move with the cheese, as they say, and mm-hmm. you can create something even greater than you ever imagined. So. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, I've definitely found in my business that when we're faced with challenges, it definitely causes us to innovate and become better for it in the long run and end up doing more deals the following year.
I 100%
agree with what you're saying. So you used an interesting phrase. You basically built the machine. And it's funny because I refer to my business as a machine as well. You've got, you know, people in place and each cog kind of does what it's supposed to do. And at the end of the day, it's supposed to serve you and spit out an end product. You've to the nth degree built a machine now that's potentially spitting out a deal a day, which is unbelievable. Tell us about the markets you're buying and maybe sort of how you're acquiring these deals.
Yeah, for sure. So I am in Southern California. That's probably where, I mean, it used to be where we bought most of our houses, but a couple of years ago, you know, my brother was listening to my podcast and getting some coaching from me, and he's in Utah, and he gets his house under contract after, you know, working really hard for 3 months. Another amazing story. He's now done in the past year, like over 20 deals and just changed his life, right? But
awesome.
And he's like, hey, I've got this house. And I'm like, dude, I'll buy that house for you. Like, I could not buy it. You know, he was selling, going to sell. And I'm like, let me buy it. So I bought that from him and that was in Utah. And then I'm like, okay, I don't look at my houses anyway, right?
Sure.
And with modern technology, I mean, do we have this thing in our, we carry on in our pocket that within seconds, I mean, I can see a neighborhood, I can see a house, I can see anything I need to. It doesn't matter where in the world it is, right? I mean, it's incredible. Sometimes we take it for granted. Then you got Google Maps and all these amazing things. It's like, it doesn't matter where I am really. I mean, it just doesn't matter if I can comp it. We know what the market is. We know, do some research, find some people on the ground. So from that point, I started buying more in Utah. And then my friend Andy, who you know Andy as well, we're
sure.
in the same group together.
Yep.
He calls me one day. He's like, hey, I've got this deal in New Mexico. We need to close tomorrow. He told me the numbers. I trusted Andy. You know Andy. We know he's a good guy.
Yep.
It had a plan B as well. I did have Vanessa double check, my assistant. But within 5 minutes of being on the phone, I said, I'll take it. You know, and so then we were in New Mexico, right? and then, you know, my mastermind group, I do some coaching. I had some guys that were in different locations that were wholesalers. And for me, it was more of who can I have boots on the ground, right? Who can help me know the area as quickly as I can? Where can I plug and play? You know, on Friday, I was listening to this book called Exponential Organizations. And it just talks about these companies like Uber and who's the other? The Airbnb.
Airbnb, yeah, same sort of thing.
And these guys, like, they've plugged into things that already exist, like people who have cars and don't mind driving people around, or people who have houses and don't mind renting. And they created this system that has now overtaken, like, the taxi industry, or overtaken, you know, are doing better than these hotel chains that have been around for 50 years, right?
Yeah.
And it just by with very minimal employees, very minimal. I mean, it's just plug and play, right? So that's how I try to run my business. I mean, I don't claim to be, you know, quite to the extent of those guys, but it's like, hey, if there are people who can help me sell the, who can help me buy these houses, can help me manage these houses, they've got contractors. You know, you and I were talking about the turnkey stuff, right? Boom, like I'm all about it, right? So it's sometimes we think linearly. We think, okay, you know, we have our KPIs, right? Which are important. It's like, how many do I have to, how much marketing do I have to do? How many can I then buy from that? How much volume? Da, da, da. We have all our numbers that we follow. But sometimes you got to think a little outside the box.
Sure.
And just plug and play. People all the time, how many offers do you make to buy a house? I'm like, I don't know. Ask the people who sell them to me, right? So that's, I don't know. That's kind of one of the things we would like to focus on.
Well, you're leveraging people and teams that are already in place, and you're leveraging technology, the fact that you can just jump on your phone and see what's, you know, what it looks like. And so for you comping a house, are you using any specific software or is it just free tools that are on the internet?
We do have, once I'm totally out of the picture, right? My assistant double checks all the houses we get. First, I only work with people who I trust. Or we think they have to have it under contract, right? None of the semi, a house that's on the MLS or house that you might get, like, no.
Okay.
It's got to be under contract. It's got to be someone that we know, like, and trust and feel like we can work with well. They can kind of be on the ground for us, help us, provide us with contractors and things that we need. And then it's her job to double check those things. So they can either, they will either provide her with MLS access so that she can double check the numbers. I'll send her comps and then she'll double check. Sometimes she'll call an agent or two. If it's a new area and we're still getting used to the people or the area, she'll go that route. And then we also have, we recently got one of those nationwide comping things. I don't know if it's Sidex or that's what I used back in the day. I see this how out of my business. I literally like don't know. I pay for it, right? But I don't know. I know that it works.
So. Amazing. I mean, yeah, if you've got the right people in place that do know how to check and you're confident in their ability and you're making money, then heck, why be stuck in the weeds? That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Ken, have you ever heard of the primary question that Tony Robbins talks about?
I've not. Mm-mm.
So there's, I just, last week I ran across this. Now there's this question, this primary question that we all ask ourselves that drives like everything that we do in life. This question repeats itself again and again and again. And some people ask, like Tony Robbins, I think he said, how can I add value? Or some people say, how can I make this better? Some people say, what's wrong with me? Or where's the danger here? Right? They ask these questions again. And have you ever known anyone who says, what's wrong with me? Like all the time,
mm-hmm.
It drives me crazy. I'm like, yeah. The thing that's wrong with you is you always say, what's wrong with me? But
right.
These primary questions, we all have one and it drives our life. And after he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, like my primary question is always, how can I systematize this?
Yeah.
How can I not do this? How can I get someone else to do this for me? And that's just what I do. I'm always asking myself, not can I, but how can I systematize? How can I get out of doing this? Not get out of, but like
sure.
Do it so that I can focus on other things and continue to grow and be the visionary. And that's what I think. And you can change your primary question. That's the good thing.
Absolutely.
So I think that's something that people always need to be asking if they want to create a true business, not just a job.
You know, since I'm actually reading, I don't know, have you ever heard of The One Thing by Gary Keller?
Yeah.
So I'm reading that book right now. It's very similar along the same lines. You know, what's the one thing I need to be working on right now to make everything else easier in my life?
Yes.
Same concept.
Huge. But
you are absolutely right. And you've done that again to the nth degree where you've put enough people and systems in place where you're somewhat removed from the business and yet the business is growing, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, you know, transitioning to your best deal ever, you might be the guy that doesn't know your best deal ever because you're not involved in your business. Is there any specific deal that might stand out to you that's special in some way or creative? Or
you know, yeah, when I go over my deals, it's like on a spreadsheet and I was like, okay, how much money do you make on this one? Okay. Oh, we lost money here. What happened? Or it's like, why isn't this one being sold yet? It's a spreadsheet to me, right? I don't care about pictures. I don't care about any of that stuff really. But the best deal that I don't know a lot about my deals. Like I was kind of mentioned earlier, the best one is the one I just did yesterday, the most recent, right? Whatever that might be.
Yep.
But the deal we've made the most money on was actually a house that burnt to the ground.
No, my goodness.
Yeah, it was last year on New Year's Eve. And we bought this house on New Year's, like the day before the first of the year. Anyway,
okay,
that New Year's Eve, duh. Okay. And then, so New Year's Day, I get this call from the guy who sold it to me. He's like, dude, that house I sold you burnt to the ground, like, last night. And I was like, what? Like, literally the day that we bought it. And I was freaking out. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to lose all this money. Hopefully this insurance stuff works. Hopefully we had insurance in place. And
right. You're looking for that certificate real quick.
Yeah. I mean, but then at the end of the day, we went through the whole process with the insurance company and did the claim and got our money. And then we ended up just selling the lot. We didn't even make any improvements to this house at all. And we ended up making $250,000 on that one deal.
Oh, you're kidding. Come on.
And this wasn't even like, I've done like high end, like $1 million deals or more. This wasn't even, it was a nice house. It was like, you know, we bought it for $250,000 and it would have sold for, I don't know, $500,000 or something like that. But yeah, anyway, we ended up making $250,000, never touched it.
So for everybody listening, don't go light on fire the house that you can't sell.
No, not a good, I mean, we had, you know, they did like an investigation and asked us questions and stuff. And I'm like, I'm clean, man. I've never seen the house.
you're right. Like, I don't know. Ask my assistant. I don't know what happened. That's funny. We've definitely had those houses though, over the years where like, man, I wish that thing would burn down where you're just sitting on it for months and months.
Yeah. They call it black gold.
Black gold. That's good. That's hilarious. So yeah. So again, your system, it's not that, you know, you acquired this house any different. It's not that you would go about selling it any different. It just happened to be that the circumstances arrived that it burned down and you made a lot of money on it. That's pretty funny. You might be the only guy on the Best Deal Ever that talks about the house that burned down being its best deal.
Best deal ever.
That's hilarious. Well, perfect. Hey, so tell us, Justin, maybe talk a little bit more about your podcast, how people can find you, websites, all that good stuff.
Sure. So you can go to houseflippinghq.com. We have all kinds of free things on there. I do a coaching program, houseflippingformula.com. You can check it out there. But yeah, go to, you know, you can find my podcast on my website, or you can go to iTunes and search for houseflippinghq.com or Justin Williams, and there you go.
Awesome. Well, Justin's got a fantastic podcast. I highly recommend it. Again, you can look it up on iTunes as well, just under House Flipping HQ. But the website, again, houseflippinghq.com and houseflippingformula.com. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Perfect. Justin, man, thanks so much for being on the show with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. It's good times.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini. I am changing up our special offer. I bought like 200 and some t-shirts with Deal Farm logo on it, and I need to get these things out of my house. And so instead of doing the Facebook and the Twitter and all that stuff, all I want you guys to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. That's it. You leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes and just email me through the website with your name, address, and your t-shirt size, and I'm going to send you a t-shirt. Again, the only thing I need you to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm.